Okay, now I've been struck by certain people recently who have made some life choices that really kind of made me think. So I'm thinking, what is it about this? There's just something that kept striking me about these people. And the first on the top left there is Everest. And we watched a film recommended by our daughter called Sherpa. And it was talking about people that ascend Everest and stuff. And there was a group that went up there, lots of people go up there. And this guy was in this group, and he was trying to ascend Everest for the second time. The first time he was thwarted. But as 16 Sherpas, well, more, as Sherpas were taking their luggage up to the next point, there was an avalanche, and 16 Sherpas had been killed in that avalanche. And the next morning, there was a rescue attempt and stuff. And then the surviving Sherpas refused to travel over the dead bodies of their comrades and their friends. So they said, "We're not climbing Everest today. We're not climbing it tomorrow. We're not climbing it. We're going back down." And this guy from happened to be from America. He was interviewed because it was kind of a documentary, and he said that he will be back for his third attempt, which is fair enough. But this is what got me, as he wanted to leave his family a legacy. He wanted to say to his family, leave it behind that my dad climbed to the top of Everest. And I thought, that is a strange legacy to leave to your children. This cost this guy hundreds of thousands of dollars to attempt each ascent. And I, in my cynicalness, went, if you want to leave a legacy for your kids, why don't you use all that money and sort poverty out in a village in a deprived country, or combat some sort of disease that could easily be, given medication. Do you know what I mean? That was my reaction. That might be wrong, but I'm thinking, what a choice he's made. And then the second picture on the top on the right is that tragic people, the very rich people on the Titan that went down to just look at the Titanic. They wanted to see the Titanic, and those people that lost their lives. And I was thinking, my word, you have all that money, you've got all that future, and you wanted to go and see the Titanic. And the tragedy for me was the dad of the boy. He'd lived quite a bit of his life, not as long as he'd like to live, but he took his 19-year-old son to go see it. That boy hasn't got that life anymore. And I'm thinking, what a choice. What the things people choose to do with their lives. And then, do you recognize that guy? Elon Musk. Well, I don't know what he's worth today, because it goes up and down as the amount he opens his mouth or not, but it's assessed that he's probably one of the richest, if not the richest man in the world, about 180 billion, depending on the stock exchange. And he's invested in, he's a very clever man, he's made lots of money, and he's invested in stuff, and he's invented stuff. He's very clever. And somebody asked him, why are you getting so wealthy? And this is what he said. He said he defended his wealth by saying he is accumulating resources for humanity's outward expansion to space. He is choosing to make money to try and send rockets up to go for humanity to go and live somewhere else. I'm thinking, I could do a lot more with that money, good than sending rockets up there. I don't know. And then the last one is volunteers. But Dave and I were away in our camper van, just kind of redeeming some vouchers and going on an experience for our birthday on a sail ship, actually, for 2 hours. And so we went to various places, or walked past various places, and one of them was a Fleet Air Arm Museum. And I was struck by the amount of people that had their name badge, and it said volunteer. You've been to a National Trust place, you see their name. In fact, we went to Brownsea Island on this trip. Volunteer, volunteer, things round their necks, volunteer, volunteer. We walked back to our car past a lifeboat museum. We popped in there because it was free. This lady took us round, volunteer. And it struck me those people are making a choice with their lives and their spare time, and they're following their passion and their interests, and they are investing their lives to help introduce other people to their passion and help them experience it. And it got me thinking, as these things can. And I thought to myself, what is important to invest your one earthly lifetime into? What life lived on this earth will leave a good legacy for when we have gone? And for some, their answer would be, Elon Musk is one of them, they would say, actually, what I want to do is the answer is wealth. I have to leave my family a legacy of wealth. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21, there was, Jesus was speaking, and he said, Jesus gave his illustration. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. In fact, his barns were full to overflowing. So he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. Then I'll have room enough to store everything. I'll sit back, say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get it all? Jesus said, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. And so for some people, it is wealth. The answer is wealth. You know, I want to leave a legacy. I want to make as much money. I might want to make a good difference with that money. But I was looking at all those people on there, and I'm thinking the people on the sub and Elon Musk and stuff, they have enough money. We've got loads of money. But there's something inside of them that wants something more. Whether it's an adrenaline rush, whether it's to see something for the first time, to ascend Everest, which is not many people have done, percentage-wise in the world, whether it's to do all sorts of different things, there's something in them, despite the fact they've got all this money and they could sit in a sun lounger for the rest of their lives, they can't do it because there's something in there that money is not enough. And I'm like, oh, all right, I wonder why that is. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, I believe, gives us the answer. He, God, has planted eternity in the human heart. Some versions say set eternity in the human heart, but the Amplified Bible, which is Dave's joke for this, is that's the Bible for loudspeakers. That's why nobody laughed, though, because it's your joke, right? It's rubbish. It's the way I said it, the way I delivered it. Okay, right. I'll let you into a secret. He married me for my Amplified Bible. I married him for the car that he had. Okay, so there you go. That's what we say. There you go. Anyway, the Amplified Bible puts it beautifully. He, God, has planted eternity, that's a sense of divine purpose, in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend, grasp what God has done, his overall plan, from beginning to end. See, God designed us with that bit in us to know him, to love him, to walk with him, to walk alongside him, and to walk along as he unfolds his eternal plan for the whole of the earth, which involves us. And he has set that as a core central thing in every human heart. And the verse at the end of the parable that I just talked to you about in Luke 12, Jesus said, yes, a person is a fool to store up personal wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Finding a relationship with God, Jesus describes in two other parables that I want to touch on, because if there is that divine longing, that sense of purpose, that mysterious longing for God, for spiritual truth, for being a part of walking life with him, then we need to find it. And in Matthew 13, verse verse 44 to 46, Jesus gives us the key in two quick, very short parables. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is like a treasure that a man discovers hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again, sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field, to get the treasure too. Thankfully, he didn't think, I'll just come at night and nick it, right? He did the right thing. I want that field because I want that treasure. Sold everything to get the field, to get the treasure. And again, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like a pearl merchant on a lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it. Treasure and a pearl. And to get those two things, those people needed to sell everything in order to get them, because they recognized the value of the things that they had found, and they knew in order to get those things, they had to sell everything in order to get them. You see, if we want to follow Jesus, if we say, right, you are the way, the truth, and the life, then when we find him, we often need to, well, we need to say, you are the pearl of greatest price. You are the treasure. You are the treasure. And whatever else needs to change, whatever I need to give up, whatever it means, I am going to invest everything in you. And because Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, can make us spiritually alive when we accept him as our Savior, we ask him to forgive us our sins, and we say, Jesus, I'm living for you now, then that's when we connect again to the Creator God, who put that link in your heart, that longing, that spiritual longing, that sense of divine purpose, that driver, that kind of appetite. There's always something. And when you make Jesus your Savior and you find that treasure, then the connection is made with the Creator, and that purpose can start to be realized in your life. At last, we have a direct connection with God. And once you find Jesus, you're required to invest everything to live for him. And you think, well, that's a bit much, isn't it? Everything. Well, that's all in, isn't it, really? That's totally everything. Well, yeah, I'd say it is all in. Selling everything to get one thing, like the pearl of the treasure, is quite the investment. But you know as well as I do that when we invest in the life of Christ, he gives us so much more. And I just picked out a few promises that he gives us. He promises in John 10:10 to give us life to the full. Not an easy one, but life to the full. He promises that Christ will be alive in our hearts in Ephesians 3:17. He promises to give us power to grasp how wide, how long, how deep and high is the love of Christ in Ephesians 3:18. He promises in Ephesians 3:19 that we can know the love of God. And in Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33, he promises that he will provide for us. And there's so many more. That's just a snapshot. So when those guys found the pearl or the treasure, let's just take the guy with the treasure first of all. I'm going to sell everything, buy the field, that's my treasure. The treasure was valuable. The treasure spoke to him of a future, whether he was going to sell it or not or whatever and make more money. But that was where his future lay. And sometimes we can think, well, if we give our lives to God, then especially provision, right? Well, I've given my life to you, Jesus, so you just got to come up with the goods, right? I need this, I need that, I need the other. But in verse 33 of that Matthew, it says, your heavenly Father already knows your needs, and he will give you all you need from day to day if, right? Some people put the full stop there. Well, God will give me all I need from day to day, full stop. Thank you very much, Lord. I need a new car. I need this. I need that. I need the other. No, there's no full stop. It says, if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Ouch. So that means if we keep Jesus as the center as the treasure, as everything an investment, everything we're investing in, then it's his responsibility to watch over us, to provide for us, to care for us, if we keep him front and center in our lives. And those promises are for living now. Salvation is not a reserved place in heaven, right? That's not the total scope of what salvation is. It's a life to be lived now. So all those things I mentioned there, you know, life to the full, Christ in our hearts. We've been singing it this morning, the same power of Jesus that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. To know the love of God, for God to look after us and provide for us. They're all for living now, not just a ticket for heaven. The treasure and the pearl will remain valuable, in fact, will increase in value in our lives. And if we can keep the value of that, keep Jesus front and central in our lives, the value of knowing him, of the peace he gives, knowing that he loves us, the provision he makes for us, the protection, the guidance he gives us, my word, that increases in value. Because I don't know about you, but I need him more now than I did when I was 12. You know what I mean? The crazy world out there, the only person that will help us navigate through all of this and come out the other side in order for Jesus to come back and say, right, that's a wrap, the kingdom's done, is it's only Jesus. It's a personal relationship with him. So the value of that treasure, if you keep it and invest your life in it, the value will increase day on day, year on year. How many know that God has proved himself more faithful and more reliable since the day you first made him a savior? Put your hand up if you know that to be true. There you go. You know? You thought you were getting the whole deal when you said, yes, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins, I'm yours now. You thought, oh, and you felt the, yes, the connection with God. But my word, have we learned a lot since then? As we've walked with him, as we've seen him do the miraculous, as we've seen him provide for us, as we've seen him, and you look back on your life and you think, wow, God, you did lead me. Look where you've brought me. That value of that treasure increases if we keep the treasure. But notice, I don't know whether you did notice, but I'm just going to reread you a statement I made ago a minute ago. When I said we invest in that treasure, we find Jesus and we say, right, we're giving everything up, you're it, right? I said, at last, we have a direct connection with the creator of that desire that he put in us and the possibility to fulfill that desire. Because I think we need to be really careful. There's a danger that unless we keep our relationship with God alive, personal, and fresh, we lose sight of how valuable the treasure is. He is. And we start looking and valuing other things. Don't you? I do. I think that is a danger for all of us. And the more we get distracted and look at other things, and there might be very good things, but the more that takes us off valuing Jesus as the treasure, the most important thing in our lives, then the more we look at those, I would like to suggest that the more the value of the treasure in Jesus decreases. We take our eyes off him, we start looking at other things, we start to value those. And you know what happens when you value something. You spend more time, effort, focus, and money on it, don't you? And if we're not careful, we can look at things and we can start bigging those things up and then becoming valuable in our lives. And before you know it, they become so valuable that the Jesus value in our lives has diminished, and we don't really talk to him so often. We don't read our Bibles to hear what he's got to say to us. Ah, oh, we'll skip church if I don't feel like it today, to gather together with people of believers. And slowly, the treasure almost gets reburied and forgotten about. And I think we need to be really, really careful. Because it can be so subtle. It can be, I can tell you, it can be so subtle that it can be dressed up in good things that look okay. For example, attending church has become more of a thing, a value, than the treasure of the Jesus we worship in church. You ever fallen into that trap? Where you just come to church, think, oh yes, well, I've got to do what I've got to do. Oh, I've been to church, good. I might have read my Bible this week, good, tick. It's not about that. It's about the treasure is about relationship, that being in the center of our lives. And it can be very subtle. You just stop focusing on Jesus and you just start turning up to church. It can be very subtle. I wrote down another one and I can't find it now. We get distracted by things. Serving him can be another one. You can come to church and you start getting involved in church and you're serving, which is great. But actually, you become a worker for God rather than a worshipper of God. Oh, and isn't that a dangerous place to be? Because when it's hard work, you're moaning, groaning. You know what I mean? If you haven't got that motivation of loving God, so I'm going to serve in the worship team, I'm going to serve coffee afterwards, I'm going to serve in the kids. As soon as you start being the service kind of focus and not the God focus, my goodness, it makes it difficult to serve. And you're one of the most grumpiest people on the team until you get your focus back in. We need to discover the treasure. And we can do that with things God gives us. I have met in my long ministry people who have prayed and God has blessed them with promotion, and with it, an increased salary. Then what have I seen? A focus on the job career. That's not wrong to have a job career and work hard. We should be working on a focus on the salary. What did I say about before? You focus on that. I've got to do that. And the treasure and the value of the person who gave that to them in the first place is lost. And they focus on that. And I've seen many people follow that route and completely leave the treasure reburied, or they reburied it in the field. And it's just heartbreaking. You see, gradually, if you're not careful, the treasure becomes a ticket to heaven. And the pearl becomes a pass to get into heaven. Gone is the sense of divine purpose. Unless we address that quickly, then we end up chasing other things to fulfill that divine longing, because that divine longing will never go. God has set that divine longing in the hearts of every human being. That sets us apart from animals. We are made in God's image with the ability to communicate with God, to walk with God, to be close to God, to have God in our lives. And without that, there is something missing. If our sole or main motivation is to get into heaven, that's why you gave your life to Jesus, can I respectfully say, you're missing the point. Because yes, Jesus has promised, as we've celebrated with communion, that he will come back for us. We will be with him in eternity. But John 10:10 says, you will have life now and to the full. God wants us to live in that relationship, in that treasure now. So when you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, it's just a moment in time. And you're walking straight into the presence of Jesus where your treasure is. You know, that's the difference. It's not a ticket. In fact, in Matthew, there is a parable about the sheep and the goats. And some people there got quite a big shock when Jesus told this parable about, you know, I've done this for you, God, I've done this for you. And Jesus is saying, sorry, don't know you. You might have done the right stuff, but you don't know me. I don't know you. And so we need to be really very careful that the treasure remains the treasure. It never loses its value. It's always central in our lives. And when Jesus told these two parables of the treasure and the pearl, he said right at the start of both, he said, The kingdom is of heaven is like treasure in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like the pearl of a greatest price that the guy got. The kingdom of heaven. What's a kingdom? A domain of the king. Wherever Jesus is king of your life, wherever he rules, that's where he lives, that's where your focus will be, that's where your power, your motivation will come from, that's where your protection and your provision will come from, as long as King Jesus is king in our lives. And sometimes we can get subtly just distracted a bit from that, and other things become important. And it isn't till you kind of come up with a start and you think, oh my word, that's not working out. Oh, how many people have done that in their lives? I've done that. I've got to come back to God and said, I've got to, oh yes, the treasure, the pearl, silly me. Let's get back on track. So I wanted to think about that this morning. There's three applications I want to make as I close. One, if you've found the treasure, or you are thinking, I think that field is where it is, I think Jesus is the answer, and you've not made that commitment to sell everything you had, i.e. right, my life, Jesus, I'm giving it all to you, it's all in with you, I'd like to encourage you to do that, because it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life to find that treasure. And the second thing I'd like us to think about is, for those of us that might have lost the sight of the value of the treasure we once had, we've kind of focused on other things. And like I said, I don't think money is evil. I think the love of money is the root of all evil, as the Bible says. Again, focus, isn't it? Some very rich people have got a good focus on God. They're giving money out and helping all sorts of causes and relieving poverty and whatever. That's great. Money's not the issue. A good job and a career is not the issue. But as soon as Jesus is not the treasure, not the center, then we lose the fulfillment of that desire that he put in us, that eternity that is set in our hearts. And I wonder whether we probably ought to just take stock and then reinvest in our relationship with God. I'm just going to pray about those two things. I'm going to come back to the last one, because I have a heart for this last one I'm going to talk about. So let's just close our eyes for a moment. And this is between you and God. And for any of those in this room who have never bought the field, bought into Jesus because you think, oh, I don't know. Then maybe God's challenging you today to say, yeah, this is where the treasure is. This is where your future lies. This is where your eternity destiny lies. This is where the fulfillment of desire in your life lies. I would encourage you now to say, God, I want to take that step. And if you are going to do that today, then please speak to someone that you know here that you can trust and say, I want to pray that prayer. I want to buy the field. I want to have the treasure. I want to give my life to Jesus. And for those of us that have found the treasure, some of us many, many years ago, some of us more recently, let's just have a little chat to God. Holy Spirit, come and make it known to us where we've started to focus on different treasure, where our eyes and our focus and our love and our devotion and our reliance and our trust in has gone on to other things, or people, or ambitions. Help us, God, right now to determine that we're going to go back to the treasure. We're going to go back to the king. We're going to put the king back on the throne and let him rule in all of our lives. Amen. And the third application I just want to make is, we may all know people who have no or little value for the treasure they once had. They once had. And that breaks my heart over many years of ministry. We met some, visited a couple on the way back when we came back from holiday, who used to be in our youth group. And they're going on with God, it's great. But we had a chat about people that were in our youth group that we ran, that are no longer going on with God. And that breaks my heart, because they've known the treasure. And maybe church has messed them up. Hands up, churches do, right? Maybe bad things have happened to them and they've questioned God and stuff, but somewhere along the line, the treasure is no longer the treasure. It's a, oh, that was a phase in my past. And I don't know about you, but I know people who have put careers and stuff first and they've gone after those things and they've completely left the treasure behind. Perhaps you know people who have not yet found the treasure in your lives, people that are important to you. All right, I want us to pray for those people this morning. If you can think, just think in your mind now who they are, those that have lost the treasure, that are far away from God, or those that have never found it, right? As I pray, I want you, just quietly where you are, to speak their names to God. Because I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe he can start to stimulate the eternal longing in their lives to get them back looking to where they once were. So as I pray, I want you to just be saying those people, and whatever God gives you something else to pray about those people, but let's be in faith for this, because God loves them more than you do, more than I do. So let's just do that right now. Father, we thank you that you are the treasure. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And also, we thank you that you've promised never to leave us or forsake us. Now, some of the people we're thinking about now have left you and forsaken you. But God, we speak that scripture over them, that you will never leave or forsake them. Wherever they are, whatever they've done, whatever position they're in at the moment, God, wherever they've turned their back on you, whether they've forgotten about you, whether they've wrongly blamed you for something, I don't know. But we pray that scripture into being, that you'll be with them right now. Holy Spirit, they were once alive in Christ and connected to the Creator God. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you would start to develop a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for truth, for reality, for belonging, for family, for God the Father to become their Father again. We pray for them, and we pray that you would call them back. We call back the prodigals. We call back those that have taken themselves out of family, church family, your God's family. We call them back into the family. And what we dare to pray, God, whatever means you need to adopt, we pray, God, we trust you with them, and we're asking you to work in their lives right now. And for those of us that know of people in our family, our friends, our colleagues, people in our heart that we've never found the treasure, God, we pray, Holy Spirit, you will lead them to the field. You will lead them to look. We pray for their eyes to be open, to see the field, to see the treasure, to understand the truth, and to find you, who is life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.